Welcome to Tarrant Hills Jr., Humblewood Edition. This is a Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play podcast for kids and adults. In Tarrant Hills Jr., we will take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure, but this time, we're all burbs. This podcast is created by and for kids. So let's see what heights we can reach today, because we're burbs.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods, to where the winds are blowing free. Through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me. And I'll spread the word, and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops, and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the street in these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
How did we do, Tim?
18.
Rita, how'd you do?
15.
Bobby, how did you do?
10.
Excellent. Okay. Kenna has a 13, but the slime has rolled a natural 20.
Stop rolling well. It's illegal.
I know. The slime, this gigantic slime, is going to reach out its giant proboscis, its slimy, acidic, probing goop arm, and grab for Tim Portents. What is your armor class, Tim?
18.
It has missed. Smashes into you.
It just smashes into my shield. I don't want to be trapped in that.
So it misses. And it is now Tim's turn.
I told the dead on it.
Sure. You don't really have any more big first level spells left, do you? Because you've used two of them already. So go ahead and toll the dead. It's going to make it saving throw.
I swear we took a little bit of a rest.
Yes, but he only gets his spells back on a long rest. The same with you.
Rip Tim and I.
So you toll the dead. It has failed. You roll a d8.
Wait, does it have health?
It has not been hurt yet.
But it fell down there. How did it not?
Yeah, it didn't hurt itself.
It hacked.
So it's a wisdom saving throw. If it fails, then I do the damage. Then it does necrotic damage to it. And it also a dolorous spell.
Do you know what that means, everybody? Dolorous?
No.
Lots of dollars.
Dollars.
It means sorrowful, moaning, sad-like sound.
Oh. So.
Depressed bell.
Ding dong.
And it shudders and does how much damage?
6.
Excellent. The next person to go in the round is Rita.
Okay.
You're standing at the top of a sweeping staircase, you know, like in those movies, old-timey movies sorts of things, where you're standing there, but there's no railing, and the staircase goes to your right and to your left down, and there's a big, long cavern there as you look out. Tim, did you want to do anything else with your turn? Did you want to move to try to get away from this creature?
I want to move away.
Are you going to fly out over top of it, or were you going to run down one of the ramps?
I want to fly out.
Cool. Describe that for me.
You mean glide out. I push, 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 and then a gust of air whishes through the air, and then push, 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 push.
Do you, like, beat your wings?
I beat my wings a bunch of times.
Well, I mean, you have to have thrust.
Are you going to make a show of power or skill that could be attributed to the wind or air and like a feat of acrobatics?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm also wind touched.
Exactly. So what that means there, Gary, is his character has the background of wind touched. When he his egg was hatched, certain portents of the stars said that he was destined to be someone great, a figure of amazing potential and fame in the bird folk culture. And as a result, anytime he does something that results in flying or to do with the wind, everybody goes, ooh, ah. And your character is skilled and knows lots of oohs. This is important. His character flaps his wings once, twice, leaps from the ledge, and soars out. You don't need to roll any dice, buddy. You're just going to describe your movement as you're gliding around at this point.
The color of my feathers, it's it kind of looks like I'm a normal Canadian goose with the normal colors, but the wind looks like it's not like clear.
So Tim kind of glows with his own light when he leaps into the sky. I love it.
Time to vicious mock.
I have succeeded. What do you say for vicious mockery?
You're totally not scary. Darn it, that was bad. Oh.
Yep, that's how that one goes this time. Is there anything else you'd like to do with your turn?
Rita presses herself to the point where the wall meets the floor,
mm-hmm.
the corner, and she sits there, pressing her hands to the floor, saying, I will not get in the air.
Sounds great. I love it. You can have a blue gem. Then we move on to Kenna. Kenna is in the back of the book here. There's actually a picture of her. She uses the commoner stat block. Kenna pulls out a sling, puts a tiny stone in the sling, and lets it fly. Oh, and she hits the giant slime and does 3 points of damage to it. That was Kenna's turn. We now move to Bobby. Bobby, what would you like to do?
I'd like to shoot my long.
Sure. You lean back, you draw an arrow. You have to roll to hit before you roll your damage. So you're going to roll a 20-sided die to see if you hit. And you're going to add +7 to that because you're really good at that sort of thing. How did you do?
10.
Is enough to hit this beast, thankfully. And you already rolled that. How'd you do on your D8?
5 damage.
So tell me what you do with your strike.
I draw my bow back up to the ear. Let go. It penetrates the slime. So then it goes like halfway into the slime.
Mm-hmm.
The slime screams in pain.
How does it scream in pain? It doesn't really have a mouth. But you, knowledgeable of slimes that you are, know it is screaming in pain because it does what?
Jitters around.
It jiggles and jitters. I love it. Excellent. All right. You can see the inside of this slime begins to eat away at your arrow, decomposing it and turning it into goop.
Hey, at least it's, you know, doing us a favor for the environment.
You have done 5 points of damage to the slime. Is there anything else you would like to do with your turn? Do you want to take wing and fly around? Do you want to run down the ramp? Or do you want to stay where you are?
Run down the ramp.
All right, describe that for me.
Bobby speeds off down the ramp, step by step.
Great. How far can Bobby move in a round?
30.
Okay, so with a 30, you speed off and you run all the way down the ramp and you're now at the bottom and it's the end of your turn as we now move to April.
April is going to use her short bow.
Sure.
I got 9.
Then that is enough to hit. And guess what? Because Bobby ran all the way down the end and he's now at the base of this slime. He is now adjacent to it and you get to add your sneak attack die to this arrow strike. Go ahead, shoot it up.
8.
Another arrow penetrates deeply. Please turn that arrow in to Gary to give to me. Because it's gone for forever.
Yes.
Thank you.
Pass the arrow.
Anything else you'd like to do with your turn?
She's also going to go run down the stairs.
The ramp?
The ramp.
Which side? The one that Bobby ran down or the other side?
The other side.
Okay, sounds good. How come no one is flying? Okay.
Hey.
All right. I understand why Rita's not flying. I'm happy Tim's flying. I don't know why our other two birds aren't flying. But nope, that's how it's going to be. You've run around to the ground and you're going to stand there. And we turn now once again to the top of the round where the giant shifting magma slime will now take its turn. And it is going to grab for Tim Portence again. I have a natural 20.
Timmy boy, no.
It grabs on to Tim. It does 5 acid damage to you and has grappled you.
Which shifting slime card is it?
It's this one. It's the giant, but it's even bigger. It's got a glowing red magma and it starts to swallow you, Tim. So you're going to need to make a grapple check to escape.
Okay.
A DC 13 strength check to avoid being grappled. Oh, you've succeeded. You are not grappled. It's just hit you and done 5 points of acid damage. That was the slime's turn. It is now Tim's turn.
I don't think it's
good. Oh, wait, you took 10 damage because it hit you with a critical strike. How many hit points do you have left? You have 4 hit points left?
Don't worry. We've died before.
There we go. Tim, what would you like to do?
I would like to toll the dead on it.
All right. It'll roll its saving throw. I have failed.
11 hit points of necrotic damage. Let's hope it's almost dead.
Great. You've done this. The slime, though, has shifted to a dark black color. The same color you have seen before, though, when you hit it with your first set of necrotic damage, which means that it is now resistant to the damage that you're doing.
Ugh.
The magma within it glows even brighter. Tim, is there anything else you'd like to do with your turn as you're now flying around?
Get back on the ground.
You would like to land?
I would like to get up as far up as I can.
Okay, yeah, sure. You can start to fly up. There's only about an extra 10 feet or so in the cavern for you to climb up and fly around in. And remember, it is all dark as night. Dark as the inside of a refrigerator that's closed, except for the light of this magma shifting slime and the light of Rita's light spell. So it is very dark. And it is very hard to see as we move to Rita's turn.
Okay, what color is it right now?
Dark black.
Okay, lovely. Wonderful. I'm going to use Vicious Mockery again.
V-mock him.
Well, the hope this time with the Vicious Mockery is that you'll impose disadvantage. It has rolled a 1, so you have succeeded. Roll your damage, and it now has disadvantage on its next attack.
3. Can I cast Bardic Inspiration?
You may.
Bobby, I don't know you, but you seem like a really cool person. Be awesome.
That means that you get to add the D6, and you can roll that with your attack roll 1 time in the next 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be your next attack. You get to choose when you're going to roll it. And you can choose to roll it after you roll the D20, but before I tell you if you're successful or not. Okay? All right, so Rita has used her bonus action to bardically inspire her friend, and she has viciously mocked the slime. What do you say when you viciously mock the slime?
You look like a rhubarb.
It is confused utterly and completely because rhubarb is the name of its ex-girlfriend, and it is shocked because literally its ex-girlfriend was itself, because that's how oozes replicate, is they split themselves. So it's not happy with you. As we turn to Kenna. Kenna will load up another stone in her sling and she will let loose. Whoa, with a natural 18.
Why are you rolling so good today?
Kenna does 3 more points of damage to the slime.
Is it dead yet?
And at this point, half the hit points of the slime have been reduced. Ugh. It has been brutally struck by arrows and dolorous sounds and vicious mockery psychic damage. It shifts with the psychic damage color to a bright violet, casting a weird coloration across the entirety of this cavern. But that roiling magma within this creature bursts forth, and you all have to make dexterity saving throws in order to not be hit by the vile magma. But Tim, you are currently in the air. Tim, I'll let you know, you have had to throw your shield down in order to fly. You can still have your warhammer across your back as you're in the air. Because you are flying, Tim, you have advantage on this.
Yay.
Roll it up, everyone.
It is a, what kind of saving throw is it?
It is a dexterity saving throw. How did we do, Tim?
10.
Oh, Tim, not enough. How did we do, Rita?
7.
Also, not enough. How did we do, Bobby?
10.
Bobby, I think you actually have a 12 because you get to add your proficiency bonus to dexterity saving throws. So you are at a 12. And how did we do, April?
21.
What?
21?
21.
That means you have gotten out of the way, and you alone will only take half of these 2d8 of fire damage.
I'm dead. Let's hope it rolls a 1 and a 1.
I have done 4 damage.
I'm dead.
So you take 2 damage, 2 fire damage from the magma.
And then you see...
Everybody else will take 4 points of fire damage.
And then you see Tim just fly to the floor.
He wasn't flying. Tim falls with a heavy crash into the floor, completely unconscious, right at the feet of Bobby. Now, you take falling damage when you land, Tim. You roll a d6 for having fallen more than 10 feet. But because, Tim, you don't take damage right now, you're at 0 health, that is your first mark on the failures of your death saves. That was Kenna's turn. Kenna also, she succeeded at getting out of the way of that and only took 2 points of damage. She only has 2 hit points left because she is a commoner. Kenna is very hurt. Tim is dying at the feet of Bobby. On his turn, he will have to make a death save. That's not for quite some time, though.
Robin!
Yes, I will heal you.
Rita, I don't know if you saw Tim fall. You were too busy getting burned by fire, curled and tucked against the corner. Bobby has assuredly seen Tim fall because he sees Tim land with a crash and a thud at his feet.
I hope his back's not broken.
Oh my goodness.
So we now turn to Bobby's turn.
Don't worry, I probably landed on my armor.
Bobby, what would you like to do?
Attack with sword.
Are you sure you want to attack with your short sword?
Mm.
Remember, you have 2 spells. And remember, I asked you to look the one of them up beforehand. It's a super handy, useful spell. That's not the spell I think you should do right now. What's the other spell you have on your character sheet?
Cure Wounds.
What does that one do?
Revive someone?
Well, Robin has a card. She can pass it to you. So you have a choice. You can cure wounds now if you'd like to, or you can attack. What would you like to do?
Cure wounds.
Cool. On who? Yourself?
Tim Portons.
So that requires you to say magical words for the spell. They can be an appeal to your chosen god. They can be a call to nature. But I want you to describe for me what it is when you cast the spell.
Bobby calls out to his god.
Who is?
Altus.
Altus. Who is Altus?
Wooden chalice.
Altus' symbol is the wooden chalice. But what type of bird is Altus?
Strig.
A strig? So like a owl or whatnot? And what is Altus the god of?
Tempest and war.
Of what?
Tempest and war.
What's tempests and war? What's that? What's tempests?
T-E-M-P.
Well, I know how to spell it, bud.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, excellent. You're like, I've chosen this because of war. Altus is the god of storms and war.
Well, that's chaos.
Could be very chaotic, it's true. But it's also very natural and whatnot. So you'll call out to the god of the storms, the wooden cup Altus, that's their sigil. And what do you say?
Oh, almighty Altus, please help me heal Tim Portons.
So, you've called out. Do you place your hands upon Tim Portons' head, his chest, his shoulders, his butt? Where do you touch him?
My butt is actually sticking up.
His butt is totally sticking up. He crashed and smashed into the ground on his face.
I flip him over and put my hands on his chest.
I love it. That's great. You may also have a blue gem.
You don't move someone who's injured.
It's the recovery position, okay?
Rita yells.
I'm actually dead. I'm actually dead.
Now, you get to heal him, and your cure wounds is going to do a certain amount of healing damage. You're going to roll 1d8 plus your wisdom modifier.
Nine.
9 hit points are returned to Tim Portons. Your eyes alight open again. You look up at the face of Bobby the Woodpecker, who has saved your life. What do you say?
Thank you.
And do you climb heavily to your feet?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to do with your turn, Bobby?
No.
Then we move on to April.
I'm going to stab it with my rapier.
Okay.
10.
That is enough.
And do I still have my sneak attack or not anymore?
You, of course, have your sneak attack.
10.
Great. The thing creels with anger.
Sounds like a car.
And we return again to the top of the round, where it is this creature's turn.
Which creatures?
There's only one in the room.
Giant shifting magma ooze. And of course, it is still going to attack Tim Portents.
Why me?
Because that is the nature of slimes. It will attack you until it can consume you and then turn on to something else. So I will roll to hit. I have a 15. Remember though, Tim, you don't have your shield anymore. So what is your total armor class, Tim?
16.
Dang it, I miss.
Ha, get wrecked.
That means the shifting slime has lost its turn. It also had disadvantage. So it didn't matter because its next attack was a 4 and it was even worse. So the shifting slime has turned this bright violet purple color and that was its turn. It is now Tim's turn.
I run up and grab my shield.
Your shield is laying at the top of the cavern. You want to run away? Or do you want to attack?
I want to fly.
You can't fly from the bottom of the stairs.
Well, he can wing flap to get some elevation and then glide. He won't be able to go too far. But Tim, you have your warhammer.
Oh, can I smack something?
If you want to, definitely smash into it with your warhammer. All right, you pull your warhammer from your back. You slip it from its thong. You hold it tightly with the leather grip, and you raise it over your head and smash down with it, and you roll to attack a
19.
Excellent. With that, you have definitively hit, for sure. So roll your damage. The magma is dripping out of the holes of this creature. And as Tim rains his last blow down upon it with his D8...
This is 4 damage.
With the 4 damage that Tim does, nothing happens.
You thought it would die?
Squelches into the creature. No, something else was going to happen when you reach a certain threshold. Squelches into the creature, doing a bunch more damage. You pry your blunt end of your warhammer out of it. And we turn now to Rita's turn, followed by Kenna.
Okay, so I can't fish a small cat. I have a rapier. I don't like using my rapier. I'm going to Bardic Inspiration for my turn.
That is just a bonus action to cast Bardic Inspiration. It's probably your last one. You're a +4, though, so you have 2 Bardic Inspirations left. Who are you going to inspire this time?
Inspire Tim, because he just, like, got beat up.
Rise! Get up on your feet and fight a random magma shifting slime.
Cool.
Da-da-da!
Do you play da 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 on the ukulele or do you just sing da da da?
Every time Rita sings, there's music, background music that no one knows where it's coming from.
What?
Because it always just like plays background.
Cool. Thank you for that. That was wonderful. Now, what are you going to do with your turn? I
don't really know what to do.
You're still technically.
Can't you viciously mock it?
Because
it does half damage when you viciously mock it.
I don't like doing that when it's not full though.
Okay.
All right, whatever. Time to viciously mock it,
then. All right, what do you say this time?
You look exactly like your ex-girlfriend who you had literally just consumed.
Okay. It is failed. It's saved.
You're a cannibal.
Roll your damage, and it has disadvantage again on its strike.
In the slime, it's probably crying magma.
1.
Well, 1 is enough. There we go. It's Kenna's turn, followed by Bobby. Kenna puts another stone in her sling, swings it around, launches it. It hits with a loud thunk.
I should cure wounds, Kenna.
She goes, oh, this is so hard, but like, I'm really good at it. She hits it again, doing a whole bunch of damage.
She should get a whip.
And once again, magma erupts from the creature.
Take cover!
Exactly, as you all need to roll dexterity saving throws again.
I just got a gem, so I'm going to spend it.
Okay, you're spending your gem. Kenna fails.
No, Kenna!
Did you beat a 13?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you beat a 13?
Yes.
Did you beat a 13?
No.
Oh my gosh, Serena!
I go from a 21 to a 11.
Wow. You rolled, must have rolled so poorly. Did you beat a 13?
I got a 13.
That is enough. But Kenna also failed on her check to get a 13. And so everyone
suffers. Oh, yeah.
Takes 2 points of damage from the molten magma that spurts out. If you failed, though, you take 5. So Kenna is splashed with a big glob of molten magma, cries out, and crumbles to the ground. Like whatever.
Thud.
Boom. She lands with a thud on the ground, and it is now Bobby's turn.
Can I hit it with my short sword?
Sure. Do you want to use Hunter's Mark first?
Yes.
What do you say when you cast Hunter's Mark with your bonus action?
Arteus, help me destroy this magma slime thingy.
All right, go for it. Yeah. What'd you roll?
16.
And total plus everything else, you think you succeeded?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's the case. You have definitely hit it. You may now roll your damage.
5 damage.
Now, you've cast Hunter's Mark, though. What does that mean when you cast Hunter's Mark?
I will do a certain amount of damage.
Exactly.
Roll an extra.
You roll an extra d6. So how much damage did you do total?
6 damage.
That was with your short sword. And when you do that, and you cleave in with the bladed weapon of your short sword, you create a tear as you slash it. And the slime gets cut. And your cut widens
widens.
And you're cheering Gary. But your character knows that what you have just done is triggered mitosis. And the slime splits into 2 different slimes.
Congratulations, you just made it a new girlfriend.
It is reduced in size by half. But there are now 2 slimes occupying this space, and it is April's turn.
Better to beat the girlfriend.
Your hunter's mark splits as well, and it's only on one of the 2 creatures. The closer one to you. Go, April.
Rapier on the closest one to me.
Okay.
Yeet.
10.
You succeed.
Aren't you on the top of the cliff with me, though?
No, she ran down the other side.
Oh.
No one else is on that one, though, so you don't get your sneak attack. Yeah, you're just going to roll a d8 plus your damage bonus.
5.
Perfect. The creature takes 5 points of damage and it creels again. As we turn again to the top of the round, the slime, because it originated as a whole entity and you viciously mocked it, causing it to have disadvantage, I'm going to say it has disadvantage for both of it. So one of them, the closer one to Savannah's character, is going to lash out at April. What is your armor class there, April?
14.
Ugh, I just got under a 14.
Yes!
The other one is still going after good old Tim. Tim, how many hit points do you have left?
7.
Whew. I rolled a 3 and a 1, so it failed both times.
31.
So the slime does not know what to do, smashes around at both of you, and fails.
Hey, that rhymed.
It is now Tim's turn. Tim, what are you going
to
do?
The Warhammer, the one closest to me.
Perfect.
The Heart of Humblewood!
I almost said the Lord,
disconnected at the beginning, and we've now joined as one voice.
Well, just like Will has rolled a critical strike, roll your damage.
23.
Yes, you get 2d8s plus your strength bonus. So... How much damage did you do, Tim?
16 points of damage.
Please tell me how you kill the slime in front of you.
It bursts, but not with Mega.
It bursts. I love it. Yes, you smash it with your Warhammer. And Bobby cries out saying...
Bobby?
Yeah.
What? Not Bobby.
Bobby cries out saying...
I'm sorry.
No. Well, yeah, I love that. It's awesome. I'm so sorry. I know you players have gotten sunk into the combat and the attacks and all of the other things that you need to be doing. What have you forgotten to do, though?
Samples. But there's still another slime.
How much time is left for that slime? We'll find out because it's exploded over here and that slime is done and it drips and loses its corporeal form and falls to nothing. And remember,
I'm gonna kill Kenna.
You can't kill the slime, because if you do, the magical property of the slime that you take the sample from will be lost.
But we have the other one. It's fine.
So it is now Rita's turn.
Okay, I'm gonna go heal Kenna because we need her alive.
You rush over to heal Kenna. You're right next to her because she never left the area. She was standing there. She fell to the ground. Her sling is laying next to her. And you say,
I hear your pain in the echoes through the wind.
Okay.
Don't get hurt.
Yeah, don't get hurt,
not
people.
Thank not thinking.
I swear
idea.
Not in the cavern. Don't get hurt.
When half of the Magma King Slime dies, you hear a strange creeling sound. As though all of the other slimes and oozes in the caves react to the death of half of the King Slime. The other half stands there, brutally injured as well, and greatly reduced in size. As we move to Kenna's turn, who is now healed, you cast your healing.
Oh, well, whatever. I mean, I thought there was something associated that I had to do.
Just note your action. You laid hands, sang the words. She is healed. She climbs back up to her feet and she says, no, don't. We need the sample and let left alive.
We have the other half.
That's what she says. That's what she does with her turn. And she starts running down towards the slime.
On Sav's side.
Yes, exactly. As we turn to Bobby's turn. Now, Bobby, you have a sample kit. You know how to collect samples from slimes. Typically, you collect samples from dead slimes. This idea of needing to collect a living sample of a slime is a crazy one, but you have the ability to do it. What would you like to do with your turn? Do you want to kill the slime and finish it off with a quick shot from your longbow, or do you want to run over and get a sample of slime?
I grab my sample kit out and run over as fast as I can, sampling the slime.
So you pull out your sampling kit, drop your bow to the ground because you don't have time for all of that. You have to run across the slick and slippery, ooze-filled floor. But guess what? This terrain is perfectly fine for you because it's filled with your natural enemy, your favorite enemy. You're used to running across slick and slippery slopes. So you dash across. Do you want to describe the heroic move you make, or would you like me to?
You.
If you do it, you get gems. If I do it, I keep the gems.
Do you want gems?
No.
He's got it in the one hand, the vial. In the other hand, he's got the plunger scooper piece that needs to be shoved in with his left. He comes dashing across. He has little extra spikes wrapped around his talons that are like long spindly things that allow him to like penetrate into the ooze more than his talons, because he's just a woodpecker, would be able to do. And he runs across the floor. He turns on his talons and he slides the rest of the way. He drops to his knees as well to continue his motion forward. And as he gets there, he plunges the plungering, almost like a trowel, into the ooze itself, pulling it out with a and depositing it from the other end into the jar. This living sample, a slime of its own right, has a lick of magma in the middle of it as he plunges the stopper down and cries out exultantly,
I got the sample!
That is the end of your turn. It is now
the slime's turn.
No, it is now April's turn.
Welp, now that my cousin has the sample, I can use my rapier to... What?
You bring your rapier out, you hold it aloft, and you strike brutally down upon it. Is that what you're telling me you do?
Yes.
Okay, Does anybody have a white gem that they would like to use to be able to interrupt this moment of the game? Okay, Robin is going to spend a white gem. Will is spending a white gem.
No.
No.
Okay. Do it. Just do it.
And Robin, what are you spending a white gem to do?
Change the story.
And how are you changing the story?
So she doesn't split it in half.
Because?
That would be really annoying to deal with.
What'll happen when she stabs it with her rapier?
It will split in half.
Only with a slashing weapon will it split.
Oh.
You're spending a white gem in order to allow your character to say something, or somebody else's character to say something. Your friend Gary is sitting next to you. He's eager and wants to say it.
What happened?
While she raises the sword back to strike, Bobby cries out saying,
"Don't kill it!"
She stops it while it's still in midair. What? Why? You already have the sample.
We might need it alive for some more samples or other stuff.
The sample in the jar will die if the magma slime dies.
Okay.
That is what everybody discussed before we went on this excursion, is that you needed a sample from a living slime.
Oh.
So what do you do?
She stops and quickly puts down her rapier and runs back up the...
Right.
I run away.
But let's say this first. You spend your bonus action to disengage.
Yes, I...
By disengaging, you don't incur an attack of opportunity from the slime, and you rush back up to the top. That is your turn.
I disengage.
We turn now to the top of the round. The one slime by Tim is dying. The other slime, though, still wants to attack April Reaper. And so it slowly makes its way up the ramp away from Bobby.
This is going to be bad.
Bobby, you get to attack it with your short sword as an attack of opportunity if you want to do so. Do you want to do so?
No.
You let it go because you know that if you hit it with your short sword, it'll split again, right? It creeps away. That was its turn. It cannot get to April on its turn, so it cannot attack her. Tim, it's your turn. What do you want to do?
I run up the ramp and try to dodge the giant other half of the slime and sneak through the tunnel.
Sure, yeah. You can begin the process of running away. You can take a full movement and your action for movement and move your full 60 feet. You have 230s?
30.
Then with your 230s, you move 60. You are in the tunnel making your way back out. It is Rita's turn. Rita, what are you going
to
do?
I think we need to leave.
You say that, right?
I'm going to totally just drag Kenna with me.
Sure. I mean, it's her turn next. She sees that Bobby has the sample. You grab her forearm and she says, but I want a sample too. This
isn't
fair.
You can share the sample. Let's go.
No, I deserve a sample as well. She's got the vial. She has the plunger.
Right, just get your sample.
And she's like, will you just get the sample for me?
All right, fine. I'll get you your stupid sample.
Okay.
I attempt to do it because I just watched Bobby do it 3 seconds ago.
Sure, yeah.
I all right, I think this is how you do it. She plunges it in, but it's a little bit off kilter, so she might miss a tiny piece of the core, which you're supposed to get.
Yeah, absolutely. So you turn, you run past April, right up to the monster.
I imagine that she's right in front of it and it looms above her.
Totally.
Casting a shadow, and she's just like, all right, well, it's not legal. and thrusts her arm into it.
Right, it covers over your arm too. Sure, you take a point of acid damage as it burns your hand. I love the color though, that's great. You may have another gem. And you get your sample. It slides into the potion jar, but the magma, little wisp of magma in that one, the one you've collected, is not as big as the piece of magma in the one that Bobby collected.
Hey.
But your turn is done, and you're standing there with a looming behemoth slime in front of you on the ramp. It is now Kenna's turn. She says, that was awesome. Goodbye. And she runs out the door.
Yeah, you want your stupid sample? Well, I'm going to yeet it on the floor.
Remember, she has 4 hit points.
I know.
So she manages to flee and escape, and it is now Bobby's turn. Bobby, there's some choices here. There is a giant slime on the ramp in front of you, but the other ramp is available. What would you like to do? You also might be able to run, wing flap, and glide up some of the way up the ramp.
I'd like to run up the ramp.
Which ramp?
The ramp that the slime's not blocking.
Okay, so you have to cross the 30 feet and then run the 30 feet up that other ramp. How big is your movement?
30.
Then you are at the top of the ramp at the end of your turn, just in time to see all of the other stuff happen as we now move to April's turn.
Just seeing Rita run past her, she shouts, "Rita, what are you doing?"
Rita doesn't reply.
Yeah, Rita, you see Rita stab the plunger into the beast and then pull a sample out.
You gotta run out the room, though.
She runs after Kenna.
Perfect. Okay, you dash after Kenna. Of course, you catch up. And as you both exit the tunnel, you get in front of Kenna. Remember, that tunnel is very narrow. 4 feet tall, 2 feet wide. You just scooch and work your way through. You pass by Tim's shield laying at the floor of the tunnel as you run up and pass and through.
Can I grab it?
Yes, you can stoop down and pick up Tim's shield.
I grab it for Tim.
Tim, you hear a shing of your shield on the stone as somebody has picked it up. You can't see because you're still at the bottom of the tunnel. He's still at the bottom of the ramp, right?
No, he ran out of the room.
He's gone as well.
Yeah, because she has 60.
Then I probably would have described
Tim
picking
up his own
shield.
I'm the only one in the room still.
You are in the room, but so too is Bobby, because Bobby only made it to the top of the ramp. That is the end of the round. It is now the slime's turn. And the slime is going to make a double move. Its speed is 20 feet. It has moved up the ramp 20 feet to the opening 20 feet.
I'm here in the way, though.
You're in the way. So actually, it's going to attack you and only move 20 feet. That's super relevant. It's not going to move at all. It's just going to attack Rita. I have a 14. Is that enough to hit you?
Yes.
Everything hits me.
Wait, what's your armor class?
12. Because I have a stupid low armor class.
Yeah, it's just because your dexterity bonus isn't very high. We'll figure out a way to get you a higher armor class down the road. You have been hit then, because it does have a 13. You take 5 damage. How many hit points do you have left?
6. No, 4.
If it had critically struck you, you would have gone down. And Bobby doesn't have any spells left.
I have
anyway,
two spells
that was
left.
The slime's turn. You take some acid damage as it burns your arm and singes some of your flight feathers on your wing.
She screams in agony and curls over onto her arm.
I love it. That's great color. And now we move to Tim's turn. He's moving further away. Rita's turn. What would you like to do, Rita?
I'm going to run.
Okay. So if you want to move 60 feet, which is going to get you all the way through that tunnel, you're going to take an attack of opportunity from the slime. But you can use your action to disengage and then take your move action to move 30 feet, not incurring an attack of opportunity from the slime.
I only have a 25 feet.
Oh, so you have 50. Either way, that's enough. So 25 feet is more than enough to get you into the opening ahead of the slime.
But can I run and meet up with Bobby?
Bobby is going to go immediately after you, and he's going to head for the tunnel too.
I know.
Are you going to go into the tunnel after Bobby or before Bobby?
I think I'm going to go after.
Okay, how many hit points does Bobby have?
I have 12.
Bobby can take a hit from this
slime.
All
right, whatever.
Can you take a hit from the slime?
No.
No, you need to get in there before Bobby. You're lucky that you go before him. Charge into the tunnel. Do the disengage action and go into the tunnel. Do you want to give me the color of that, or can we just move on?
Can I go across? Because I've been imagining that I was doing that.
You're at the top, almost, of the ramp. The two ramps going down. Bobby's on this side of the ramp. You're on this side of the ramp.
I've been imagining that there's two entrances here and then the stairs. And I didn't want to go this way because the slime will follow me.
Yes, the slime's going to follow you, and there's only one way into this room.
All right. I thought there was a room here. And then opened up into the cavern in two different directions. This is messing with my imagination. I guess I'll just run in.
Okay, you book it. Bobby, it's your turn.
I'd like to run.
All right, then you do. You run. You don't even need to run. You just Does Bobby actually like to run? Does he enjoy going for jogs?
Yeah, he's athletic.
Excellent. That's great. What would you like to do with your turn?
Run.
Okay, you do so. You pick your knees up high. You move your arms rapidly. You have picked up your bow that you had left behind. Because remember I said you threw it down? You picked it up already. You sling it over your back and you enter into the tunnel. But because you slung your bow across your back, the bow gets caught on the edges and you're like, oh, dang it. You slide it the wrong way and you go in and you are the last to leave the area. And you are all very lucky because this slime follows after you, which means if anyone had gotten left behind and the slime had entered the tunnel before you, you wouldn't have been able to catch up to your friends and the slime might have singled you out and attacked you all by yourself, trapping you behind your friends. That didn't happen though.
Thankfully.
April gives Tim his shield back. Rita gives Kenna the sample, and you make your way out of the Mock Den caverns. You stand at the entrance, the exit, in the swamp itself, with the cliff face looming above you, and it is the darkest of night, because you have spent the whole day in the Mock Den caverns, the swamp creatures. And night sounds fill the air. You can see the glow of slimes in the distance, but you have saved Kenna Brightfeather and Bobby Wooden Reaper from the Mock Den Caverns and can return to Winnowing Reach.
And tell a story.
Next time.
On Survivor. Anyways, we're gonna chill in the tree first.
The tree is still an hour away.
Aww. Not in Winnowing Reach. I meant like the tree we're just...
Yeah.
Oh my god, that sucks so much. Anyway, we're going to go there and then like rest and then like go the rest of the...
Well, we'll find that out the next time we play.
Peace, guys! All right, time to put everything away.
You're wondering if I go wandering with you. What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Jr. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of the adventure. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. Find their music on iTunes or check them out at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes or check us out on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. See you all later!
I'm wondering if you'd come wandering my way. If you ever get lost or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. Round up the troops and get the gang.